John Camp, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Jim.
What's your take?
Well, my take is simply that it is, you know, Fox viewers have pretty much made up their mind who they're going to vote for. CNN viewers, and oh, by the way, at the opposite end of the spectrum, so is MSNBC viewers. So that leaves CNN in the middle. And you have a lot of undecided viewers that watch CNN. So consequently, I think the president is more cognizant of what happens on CNN than perhaps where he has a winner or where he has a loser. And that's the Fox and MSNBC. So, of course, CNN's his target. And that is something that they're going to have to live with probably for the foreseeable future. And, you know, you say something long enough and loud enough about fake news and people will begin to believe it. And most people don't know what fake news is. It's not that a reporter doesn't make a mistake because we are, you know, an imperfect craft. However, fake news is when someone intentionally writes stories knowing that they are false. And I have not seen many instances of that, certainly not on CNN. And I thought they acted too hastily if they did, in fact, ask the resignation of the three journalists responsible for a story they had to retract.
Well, since he became president, USA Today reported last week the president has tweeted 63 times about fake news, far more than any other subject. To give you an example, veterans, 9 times. Building a wall, 4 times. So he's consumed with the media, and the media in large part helped create Donald Trump. And CNN, John Camp, has been blamed for carrying the president's news conferences, then candidate Trump, for hours on end on the campaign trail. Did they help get him elected president of the United States?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was a fascinating character, and he was a ratings booster, so consequently, you know, ratings above all else seems to be the theme of most television right now. And if you're going to draw ratings with Donald Trump or whomever, you're going to carry him as often as you can. And this is what has happened in at CNN. And, you know, it has created a situation in the journalistic environment of false equivalency. Because you end up with somebody saying the world is flat or the world is round, then you journalists feel the obligation of interviewing somebody who claims it's flat. And this false equivalency has occurred in politics. And I have I'm not in love with CNN in the matter of its programming now because there are just too many pundits. And you know, you look at these round tables of 9 people, and you think, my God, what, is this news or is this punditry?
Well, that's the way of the world, and one of the shows that has a lot of those round tables is Morning Joe, and that's on MSNBC, a show that draws about maybe on a good day for 500,000 viewers, which isn't a large number, but the president watches. And he sure wasn't happy with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. What's going on with them?
Well, I think we have someone who is thin-skinned, and you know, the father of all our free press, Thomas Jefferson, who said if there's a choice between a free press and a free government, I choose free press. But once he became president, he changed that attitude and became very much a critic of the media. And so you have Donald Trump, who's a creature of the media. And now he has some horrible things to say about people. You know, if we don't agree with the story, that doesn't necessarily mean it is fake news. And I think this is where you find a lot of the general public criticizing news because unfortunately, the president's taken us into an alternate reality.
Well, CNN did lose 3 decorated reporters. These were not rookies. And it was based on a story that they could not corroborate about the president in Russia. So this has certainly given Donald Trump some ammunition in saying the media are out to get him.
Absolutely. And, you know, dismissal, I think, is the final alternative when you're dealing with mistakes in journalism. I think that there are disciplinary measures that should be implemented, and probably as much because of not following company policy as the story itself. CNN decided it just could not deal with a retraction. And that occurred in my career with the notorious nerve gas story. And I was called in on that story to try to salvage it, and discovered that our reporters had made absolutely horrible mistakes. And they were immediately fired. Then my boss, Pamela Hill, award-winning documentarian for many years, she resigned, along former CBS Vice President John Lane, one of the icons of the news business. He left. He was our senior producer. And Peter Arnett ultimately left, although he was only the voice of that story. It was two producers who put the nerve gas story together. And I'm probably a casualty of that story because I complained about management and their actions so vociferously that I think they said, hey, let's get rid of this guy before he creates a rebellion within the network.
Well, and there's the famous case of Dan Rather, who lost his anchor job at CBS after doing a story on 60 Minutes 2 that has never been proved to be inaccurate. It's just that he couldn't prove that his sources were accurate.
And that's the dependency that we have on producers. I was very fortunate to grow up in an environment, local news, and here in Baton Rouge, and even as head of investigative units in Miami, Boston, and working with ABC. I was always my own guy. And because of my insecurity due to lack of academic credentials and other problems in my personal life, I was always, going the extra mile on a story. And as a result, I managed to sneak in 30 years of hardcore investigative reporting without ever losing a lawsuit or being involved in any situations that embarrassed my employer or myself.
Well, the word investigative reporting usually indicates that the reporter is searching for something that perhaps the subject doesn't like, and you encountered that. I recall you having a feud. It may not have been an over-the-top feud, but a feud nonetheless with the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart.
Well, Jimmy was not someone who loved me, although he professed his love when the day he returned to the pulpit. But, you know, if you're going to write stories and news, investigative reporting is a search for truth. That's all it is. And that's supposed to be the mission of journalism as a whole. I mean, we're obligated to go out, and regardless of where the chips fall, we're supposed to tell the truth based on a group of facts that point toward the truth. And, it's nice to be thick-skinned, whether it is Jimmy Swaggart or police superintendents or people who have gone out of the way. Richard Mellon Scaife, the billionaire Pittsburgh guy who hired a private detective to look into my personal affairs. Those people, I mean, they have hardened me against criticism. And I know it's a high-risk business for the media because there are expensive lawsuits that are filed. There are criticisms that come, such as those of CNN right now and of Morning Joe and his fiance. It is a serious high-risk business. It's absolutely a necessity in this country because it is what keeps the politicians honest. And here in Louisiana, I mentioned the other day that you have to have investigative reporting, and I hope that our government is as clean as it appears, because without investigative reporting, we're not seeing the kind of nasty stories that expose people. And I'm hoping that the reason we don't see those is because they're not happening.
We only have 15 seconds, John, but do you see any parallels between Donald Trump and Jimmy Swaggart?
Yes. I mean, they're both creatures of the media. They're both megalomaniacs. And it is something that, and both are sensitive to any kind of criticism. And that is very much parallels of the two personalities.
And both very charismatic, of course.
Absolutely.
John Camp, thank you so much. Appreciate it.